slowly. So I would ask you to turn to Psalm 139, and I will read verses 17 and 18. And I think you'll see that it's good to stop and ponder over the verses of Scripture. Psalms like this, we tend to read through and as a whole, but if you stop, you find there's some rich things to meditate on. Again, we're reading Psalm 139, which is a psalm of David. Verses 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Let's pray. Lord, as we tonight think about your thoughts and our relationship with you, we thank you for who you are. We ask that you would teach us, lead us, fill us, and may we find wondrous things in your word even this evening. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we think about things we like, things that interest us. This time of year, we know, because if you even turn on sports radio for a moment, lots of people are thinking about football. For some, it's NFL. For some, it's college. For some, it is both. I'm sure there are those who lay awake at night wondering if on September 3rd, Auburn will, I suppose, pull an upset over Clemson, or Alabama will defeat Southern Cal. On another level, the other things in our life interest us. I love music, and I told someone the other day, I will eat peanut butter and jelly, but I got to save some money to buy new CDs when they come out, or MP3s. I've realized I like having the CD in my hand, and lots of good music's come out this summer, and I've thought about it, and then I'll play it, and then I'll think about the songs when they're not playing. I'll have that tune or those words in my mind. When you're falling in love and you're courting someone, you don't have to be told to think about that person that God brought into your life that you're thinking, I'd like to marry this person. In fact, you have to be redirected into your thoughts. I remember when I was in Tuscaloosa and Betsy was in Knoxville, Tennessee. In my last semester, I was a student at Alabama, she at UT. I got to tell you, I didn't get a lot of studying done. I was either thinking about her or I was on the road that 317 miles and 5 hours from Tennessee to Knoxville. We think about those things that we love, those things that interest us. Remarkably, in this psalm, we get to ponder what God thinks about. Now again, I'll just remind you, you know this, but I'll remind you, we've been thinking about God's omniscience, his omnipresence, his personal creation of us, even in the womb. David finds this as simple and profound, and it leads him into these verses tonight, verses 17 and 18. God is our creator possessor. He is as our creator and then our superintender, our redeemer. He is involved in our life from even before eternity when he chose us in him, to knitting us together in our mother's womb, to taking us through every day of our life. This elicits great thoughts from us. It elicits praise from David. But as we consider this, how precious to me, I'm just going to be in verses 17 and 18, so when you look down in your Bible, that's where I'll be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. I think we may not see it immediately, I think, how he is what he is pondering. I do believe he is pondering God's thoughts toward us, the one who created us, who even it says back in 16, you saw my unformed substance. In your book were written all my days, even before one of them had passed. Now he's actually thinking about God's thoughts toward him. I thought it would help us if I read it from a couple of other translations. Here's how the New Living Translation has these verses. How precious are your thoughts about me, Oh God, they cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. The Message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, which I'm actually enjoying more and more, sort of, I had to get to a point where I could appreciate his liberties that he takes from time to time. But here's how The Message puts this. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. We're thinking this evening about God's thoughts. I have a few quotes here as we go through it from other authors over the years that are going to help us. God's thoughts. God's thoughts, as we work through these verses, they're gracious in content and purpose. They're great in number and depth. And staying with the G, they're guiding. There are a guiding principle in our lives and in our thoughts. So they're gracious, they're great, and they guide us as we think about His thoughts. Again, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. David is thinking about God's investigation of him. And his investigation actually reveals loving care. As he thinks about God's thoughts toward him, he realizes God loves me. It's interesting to note that for David, God's thoughts towards him are he says they're precious. They're a treasure. We would say that a treasure is precious to us. It's pleasing to him. It's a joy to him. He's not worried by it. It's in fact a privilege. Now I think as we think about this, as we even think about this psalm as a whole, we see the scrutiny that God has over us, and it could lead us into a fearful thoughts. But we're talking here about the God who loves us, the God who made us, the God who in Christ redeemed us. And so David is actually inviting this scrutiny of God upon him. In fact, thinking of God's thoughts towards us reveals a fellowship with the Lord that's really beyond description. In fact, one person said, at God's thoughts towards us, I guess he just puts up with us. And that got me thinking, that's really not the point here. Now listen, I never want to err on either side. I always want to be preaching God's grace. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ and what He's done for us. But I don't want to preach a cheap grace. This is a grace grounded in Christ's sacrifice for us. And yet, I think my tendency would frankly be to fail to just marinate in the fact God loves us. God loves us. He loves His children. He thinks good thoughts towards us. His thoughts towards us are loving, are positive, are pure. His thoughts are rich towards us. I think to apply it, think about to help this feel the wondrous weight of this, think about our thoughts toward Him and our thoughts toward one another. Often our thoughts toward God are cold, not warm, and yet He loves us. If we love Him, we ought to be thinking about Him. We don't have to be reminded, I've already mentioned, we don't have to be reminded to think about someone we love, to think about our favorite sports team. Nobody has to remind us to do that. We ought to be thinking about God like He thinks about us. But think about one another, our thoughts toward one another. Oh, what do we think about one another? We get suspicious of one another. We get envious of one another. Our thoughts toward one another tend toward, well, thinking the worst, don't they? But oh, how precious to me are your thoughts, oh God. He has good thoughts towards us. We're his children. He loves us. He thinks the thoughts that a creator thinks. He thinks the thoughts that a preserver thinks, a redeemer. The thoughts that a father, a good, loving father thinks. The thoughts that a good friend thinks. Those are the kind of thoughts coming from his heart toward us. And further, it's thoughts of pardon, of renewal, of upholding us, teaching us, loving us, inspiring us in our duties for him, that they would be done with warmth and with zeal. God's thoughts are gracious towards us in content and in purpose. Are you thinking about him? Does it give you great wonder to think of his thoughts toward you? Charles Spurgeon says, "Oh, some don't even believe in the existence of such a personal God." Imagine a world, Spurgeon says, without a thinking personal God. Conceive of a grim providence, of a machinery, a fatherhood of law. Such philosophy is hard and cold. Then he says this, "As well might a man pillow his head upon a razor edge as seek rest in such a fancy." But a God always thinking of us makes a happy world, a rich life, a heavenly hereafter. That's the God. That's his thoughts towards us. They are gracious in content and purpose. And whenever we start trying to add up things in the Bible, we realize there's a pretty common refrain, as many as the sands of the sea or the stars in the sky, isn't it? Because God is so high above us. And so he says, "How vast is the sum of them? God's thoughts are great in number and in depth." How vast is the sum of them? He continues in verse 18. "If I would count them, they are more than the sand." Such thoughts are beyond numbering. His good thoughts towards us are beyond numbering. Let's think of this in two ways. First of all, think of it like this. I think what really is meaningful here is just to ponder, God is thinking of me and he's thinking well of me and he loves me. But also to think that it's really his ordinary everyday mercies. I refer to Lamentations 3 quite often. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. It's the ordinary, everyday mercies, thought about particularly, that are so meaningful, that really add up. A lot of times we're so general, we generalize as mercies, and yet, you know, all the times that we drive in an automobile and make it here safe, and make it back home safe. And I know you pray for me because I make a little longer drive than you do to church, but really, it's all the same. God protects us every ride in an automobile. That's why it's in his inscrutable wisdom that we have to mourn the loss when someone does die of an accident, of whatever it may be, maybe in an automobile wreck. His mercies every day, every bite of food. We might have a big meal for a guest, and yet members of our own family might take for granted that we provide, that God provides through the various ways. Our ordinary everyday meals, every day of life that actually nourish us. So I think his thoughts, thinking on us and giving us his everyday mercies, they're beyond numbering. We forget to stop and think about them and to thank them. Or all the times we prayed for healing and they were healed. We ought to look back and think of all the healings. Add them all up that we've prayed for and that God answers. But secondly, thinking of how they're great in number and depth, think about it like this. He gave us 10 commandments. 10. Now, I know there's other commandments in the Bible, but go with my illustration. 10 commandments. The first 4 help us think about our relationship with Him. The other 6, our relationship with each other. We can learn those 10. They give us a guide for how to glorify and enjoy Him. His thoughts for us are so numerous. He gives us 10 simple commandments, and yet His thoughts towards us are infinite. His good thoughts towards us. That ought to fill us with wonder and awe, just like it does David. But also, His thoughts can be a guiding principle in our lives and in our thoughts. And so He says, I awake and I am still with you. Thinking about God's vast and wondrous and personal thoughts towards us leads David to declare God's constant personal presence with him, both now and forevermore, actually. Whether asleep or awake, God is with us. Again, I'm going to get a little help here on this one. Oh, there we are. This is from Thomas Horton in 1673. A godly soul should fall asleep in God's arms, like a child in the mother's lap. It should be sung and lulled to sleep with songs of the night. And this will make him the fitter for converse with God the next day after. This is the happiness of a Christian that is careful to lie down with God, that he finds his work still as he left it, and is in the same disposition when he rises as he was the night when he lay down to rest. As a man that winds up his watch overnight and finds it still going the next morning, so it is also, as I may say, with a Christian that winds up his heart. This is a good observation to be remembered, especially in the evening before the Sabbath. See what he's saying? And think about this, if we apply this, laying down before bed and thinking God's thoughts after him, spending some time with him, putting ourselves in a frame of mind that will sleep peacefully and wake up with the same peace with which we went to sleep. The happiness of, like a child in his mother's arms, lying down at night with the Lord. And of course, also he says, I awake, so beginning the day with God. When we begin with God, we take him along with us to all the business and comforts of the day, which being seasoned with his love and fear are the more sweet and savory to us. And so a God always with us, always thinking of us, we can apply this by returning to him, our thoughts toward him, spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, glorying in his wondrous thoughts towards us, his precious thoughts towards us. God's thoughts, they're gracious in content and purpose. He has thoughts of love toward us. They're great in number and depth. He's always thinking good thoughts towards us. And again, this doesn't mean that he doesn't discipline us. The sermon isn't about God's discipline of us. We have that too. Tonight's sermon is about his love for us and his good thoughts toward his children. And so his thoughts toward us, and he has revealed his revealed thoughts, we have written in the 66 books of the Bible, which we can meditate on any time in our written copies. And so they should guide our lives and our thoughts. I want to close with a quote from Stephen Charnock, who wrote an amazing book on the attributes of God. Accustom yourself to serious meditation every morning. Fresh airing our souls in heaven will engender in us a purer spirit and nobler thoughts. A morning seasoning will secure us for all the day. Though other necessary thoughts about our calling will and must come in, yet when we have dispatched them, let us attend to our morning theme as our chief companion. Okay, so here, we're saying God's thoughts with us in the day are like a chief companion that will carry us through our calling of the day. And then he actually uses an analogy. As a man that is going with another man about some considerable business, Suppose he's going to Westminster. Though he meets with several friends on the way and salutes some, and with others with whom he has some affairs, he spends some little time as they're going on their way to Westminster, yet he quickly returns to his companion, and both go together to their intended stage. You see that if God is with us, if his thoughts are our thoughts, if we're meditating on him, walking with him, then all the different aspects of the day, he's with us. It gives new perspective. A difficulty at work, a difficulty at home, a difficulty with a relationship. If he's with us, if he's always with us, thinking of us, that makes a happy world, a rich life, and a heavenly hereafter. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for giving us a few moments to ponder your wondrous, gracious thoughts toward us. Oh, vast is the sum of them. Oh, Lord, what wondrous good news. We awake, and we are still with you, and will be so even unto eternity. We thank you and pray in Christ's name.